sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
Settle down, settle down. Congregation, please open your books to the book of Jay-Z. Book of Jay-Z. Sorry, let me get my notes together. Chapter, The Blueprint. Verse, The Renegade. When you have it, say amen. Amen? All right. It goes like this. Since I'm in a position to talk to these kids and they listen, I ain't no politician, but I'll kick it with them a minute. Cause see, they call me a menace, and if the shoe fits, I'll wear it. But if it don't, then y'all swallow the truth, grin, and bear it. Now, who's the king of these rude, ludicrous, my God, let me repeat that. Brother's getting a little complicated. Now, who's the king of these rude, ludicrous, lucrative lyrics? Who could inherit the title, put the youth in hysterics? Using his music to steer it, using his music to steer it, sharing his views and his merits. But there's a huge interference. They're saying you should inherit. That's the important part. All right, keep going. Maybe it's hatred I spew. Maybe it's food for the spirit. Maybe it's beautiful music.
Message.
I'm going to repeat that. Maybe it's beautiful music.
Message.
I made for you to just cherish. But I'm debated, disputed, hated, and viewed in America as a motherfucking drug addict. It's like you didn't experiment, as if you didn't experiment. Now, that's when you start to stare in the mirror and see yourself as a kid again, and you get embarrassed. And I got nothing to do but make you look stupid as parents. You fucking do-gooders. Too bad you couldn't do good at marriage. Comical. And do you have any clue what I have to do to get here? I don't think you do, so stay tuned and keep your ears glued to the stereo. Cause here we go. He's a jigger renegade. He's a renegade. Renegade. All right. Okay, all right. Welcome, bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. Oh, shit. Hold on. Back up. All right. I'm angry at myself. One last line I forgot to say. Because here we go. He's a jigger. And I'm a sinister minister. Kiss my ass. Is just a renegade. That was powerful. Powerful. But the most important part in that line that I want you in that verse that I want you to remember debated, disputed, motherfucking drug addict. No, you get embarrassed. Nope, not that one. Oh shit, I lost the track. I lost the verse. Oh yeah, maybe it's hatred I spew. Maybe it's food for the spirit. Maybe it's beautiful music I made for you to just cherish. All right. Okay, let's start. Welcome. Bienvenue to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. B Blizzard, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Mr. Grand Papa, Le Grand Papa B. I'm a little lost. I'm a little lost in my notes today, but getting started. But I still want to explain to you new listeners that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green. And waves a red, blue, no, raise a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City on Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on May 7, 2023, on a beautiful Sunday. Well, it's gray sky Sunday, 3:45 p.m. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Yeah, right. You know, okay, well, I'm going to talk later about the intro verse that I shared and why I shared it the final segment of this show. And, but it has me thinking about how the notion of deserving to be heard. That's the thing. Deserving to be heard regardless. Like for my intro, had dinner again with a dear friend of mine, and a very knowledgeable kind of friend. And there was moments in our interaction. I didn't notice during the conversation, but I know it's only now as I'm podcasting us. It reminds me of why I do this show, why I do these podcasts, why I record these episodes. It's like there's a free. Okay, I don't deny that every once in a while I'll say something that will sound weird or that might. I don't know if I'll say it's wrong, but worth revisiting. But sometime it triggers the person who's listening to either interrupt or basically don't pursue to like want to say, don't pursue that line of thinking. And in my mind, I'm like, why not? It's, I don't know. It's complicated. But all this to say is during that conversation, there was times where I found myself getting into, oh, you said something silly again. Stop talking. You're making a fool out of yourself. And I bring up the fact, I mentioned the fact that this is a dear friend. So there was, I know there was, it was not their intention. It was not a malicious intention on their part, but I'm just noticing in myself how quickly I will shut down over the possible perception that I'm saying something that the other person doesn't like, doesn't want to hear. Anyway, it's just an observation that I'm making. It really, it's just, it's not meant to be, okay, like, I want to be clear, right? When I'm out in public, you'll talk to me and you'll just assume that, nah, he's quote unquote normal. Or you might pick up on some of these things, but this is just me, when I'm speaking here, it's just talking on what's under the current, like behind under the hood of the engine. That's really what I'm trying to, yeah. Anyways, with that said, I'm going to conclude today's intro before I get to using random thought. Act two, for you new listeners, there are three acts to this podcast. There's the intro, second news and random thoughts, and final thoughts. And yeah, so I'm going to conclude the intro with, I heard her, I don't usually do this, this is the first time I do this, but I'm going to play, basically, on my Twitter page, someone posted this new rapper, up-and-coming rapper, dropping some verse, and that motherfucker was, what do the kids say, fire? What are the kids saying? It was dope, all right? It was crack cocaine dope. And it was so dope that I felt the need to share it with you motherfucker on this podcast. And the name of the artist is, actually, that's the tough part. The name of the artist is, I'll tell you what, I'm going to play it and then look up this dude's name. But, yeah, all I know is he's from Philly and his homies who hear this. Oh, hold on.
Look.
Hold on a second. Yeah, he's from Philly and long live Schoolie D and Steady B and all the OG rappers from Philly. So here we go.
Look, yo, my next word probably my best word. They say, heavy is the head that wear the crown, nigga. My neck hurt. Niggas don't want work, they be like, less work. Uh-huh. I'm the character you unlock when you finish the game on expert. The flow polish like toe polish. Say, cousin called me, say that shit just landed. He like my co-pilot. Come in peace, we don't want no violence. Unless the money low, that's when my problems become
your problem.
School of the gifted, nigga, class in session. Raise a hand and ask a question. They say your first could be your last impression. Yep. I'm the adult, you niggas adolescent. Looking at the class for half a second. Some of you niggas won't even last the lesson.
What?
Get in the booth and I get mad aggressive. Yeah. All I know is you can have my seconds. Rap don't work, I had a massive weapon. Because my hood turned to the upside down as soon as it passed 11. Shit a lot to handle, dog. Like finding out about Santa Claus or playing 2K with the broken analog. For the fentanyl, we was hitting coke with the mandatory. Said niggas hot till I be like, when turn a candle off. This shit speak for itself, don't it?
Yeah.
I can't imagine being them niggas that slept on it. They threw dirt on my name, but now they put some respect on it. Cause now when the phone ring, it got label execs on it. You know how that shit go when the chips low. All you got is your pistol. Soon as the money come, niggas love you. Now they miss you. Niggas be so forgetful, but my memory good. I'm from Philly, nigga. A block away, my enemy hood.
What?
This shit ain't happen overnight. I had to bleed for it. You reach for it, then cousin to cause a scene for it. Try
what?
Your luck. None of that sucker shit gon' fly with us. At the table with all the higher ups, thinking how to divide it up. So play with something safe, dog. Yeah, like napalm. Niggas be DMX.
Come
go
on
to court and turn into Nate, dog.
Yo. I said I was gonna look up his name. Oh, fuck. I forgot. Eveland? What's that rap dude's name? Okay, you know what? I'll tell you what. I'll look it up. I'll be in the show notes. But it just showed up on my timeline. And I see big. Look, I think the main reason I'm sharing this, because it's why I love hip hop. I love these moments in hip hop where an up and coming rapper comes up and just shocks us, entertains us with these dope ass verses. And you just bobbing your head, and you're like, by the end of the rhyme, you're like, who the fuck is this? Yo, I remember when Eminem was that rapper. You're like, who the fuck is this rapper? Like LL used to say, I'm checking out the rapper and the rhyme that he said. All right, okay, so this concludes the intro, so let's jump into news and random thoughts. So here we go. Yeah. Okay. I really hope, like, in my headphones, that track was, the bass was really loud, the drum sound. So I'm kind of hope it comes out better in post-editing. If not, then oh, that sucks. That sucks. Probably the last time I play a rap verse on this track, on this beat there. Okay. Hold on a second. Philly. No, I feel wrong not giving you the name of the rapper. Almir, hold on a second. unless the money low, that's where my problem becomes your problem. I wish I could talk like that. All right, okay. Use a random thoughts. First item. I have a dream. I have a dream that one day people will not be entertained at seeing other people at their lowest. I think this is an internet thing. I think this is we're living in the early ages. Not prehistoric, but oh my god, prehistoric days. I'm trying to make a I'm barbaric. Yeah, okay, I'm going to go with barbaric, even though that's not the right word I'm looking for. Wait, prehistoric. Like, how do you relate, like caveman days? Yeah, okay, there we go. Primitive, that's what I'm saying. I believe that we are living, the internet is a new thing, and we are living in the primitive, prehistoric version of the internet. And I'm thinking that shit that we do of seeing people at their lowest, and whether they're losing their mind, whether they're going crazy, whether they're having like a psychotic moment, or which is really recent as of right now, is as Public Enemy Chuck D pointed out, like this is what is triggering this thought. Chuck D posted on Instagram, he goes, watching black people die on the internet is not normal. And this is in reference to Jordan Neely. Oh my God. Yeah, I was ignoring. See, when I go on my timeline, I remember it was basically, it was just a video that started with a white man on a sub having the black man in a chokehold. I didn't want to know what that black guy did to be in a chokehold. I didn't want to hear why this was happening. I just kept ignoring it until it just became constant. It just became very, it just kept popping up frequently on my timeline. And it got to a point where we learned that Jordan Neely, fuck, it's a sad story, man. It's, homelessness is it homelessness or houselessness? Homelessness is an issue. It's like, yo, shit are getting expensive. People are having difficulty paying for shit. And, I'll just read the quick caption, right? In the show notes, you'll find the Twitter thread that explains the Jordan Neely situation or how we got to this. But it goes, two other men helped him. Wait, what? Okay, sorry. On Monday, this is Jordan Neely. On Monday, he was lynched. On NYC subway, he started telling passengers that he was fed up being hungry, thirsty, and having no place to rest. Right? I mean, is there a polite way to express that? I mean, is there, whatever. I'm just saying, I think he's not the only one. And he's not, and this is like, this is going to be a thing. This is going, like he's, and, okay. He began to shout his frustration and threw his jacket on the floor. An ex-Marine then murdered him. Look, I've been even in Ottawa, like there's a lot of people on the street. I don't know if I mentioned in the past episode, but I was talking to my cousin, a cousin of mine, and he was, we were catching up. I hadn't seen him in a long time. And we were just catching up, and he was just telling me how, you've been downtown. He asked me, he goes, you've been downtown Ottawa? And I said, the point he's making is, yo, there's a lot. The point was to tell me there's a lot of people walking around panhandling. And but this is where it made it worse for us is some of those people we know back from high school, and it's fucked. I mean, I don't know. And maybe this is this is the kind of shit that bothers me about the world that we live in is caring is difficult. And I can't say much because, you know, I'm not out there helping them out, donating or anything like that. It's just, I'm just a guy complaining about the situation at the moment. But, what I'm getting at is, yeah, there's a lot of panhandler. And some of them, I understand that some of them look threatening, feel threatening, you know, to us common folks or quote-unquote common folks. But we forget that they're still human beings. And I imagine that it's not the fact that they look threatening, but it's also this notion that society, it's normal to look at these people as threatening, as it's their fault for being in that situation. They're evil. You need to be careful. Sure. There's someone out there who's probably had a bad experience. with a panhandler. I don't deny that, but I guess it's more the context of how we look. It's easy to forget that they're human beings. That's really what my point, what I'm getting at. Long story short, it turns out that Jordan Neely is dead, and the Marine guy who killed him is nowhere to be found. There's a lot of sympathy for him than there is for Jordan Neely. Like, look, if you wanted to put him out of commission, I get it. But killing the dude? Then again, I don't know. I'm going to say something. Okay, you know, trigger alert, trigger warning. But then again, I know what it's like to feel like life is just one big-ass inconvenience. And someone would be doing you a favor by just, you know, making it end. But it's sad. It's sad that people are, yeah, I'm bothered, man. We're starting with a low point. It's sad that our people, it's sad that I'm over here able to speak about this shit. Because after I'm done, I'm going to get something to eat, you know. Me bitch about first world problems. And then, meanwhile, there's the Jordan Neely walking through the world feeling like life just, like, life, the universe just cursed him. And, I just wanted to bring that up. Anyway, what kills me, I forget where I was going with the story, is the person who recorded that incident, watching a man die. Fuck. I mean, me, I don't know. I mean, I'm grateful for the person who recorded, I hate this, the murder my brain's gonna fuck with me again. The murder of, oh my God, I'm really gonna do this right now. George Floyd, right? Because no one would have believed it. They would have been like, yeah, come on, there's no way this officer would have his neck on that plot man for 8 minutes. Yeah, I know a lot of witnesses are saying that, but come on. But the guy who recorded Jordan Neely's last moments, and I've never seen someone die before, but since the internet, I've been seeing a lot of it. And on one end, I'm like, maybe I'm the one who needs to toughen up to this shit. On the other end, because that is the world that we live in. I don't know. It just kills me that the guy who recorded it, at least, you know, thank you, we got evidence for his murder. But on the other end, fuck, what if your intervention could have prevented? Like, what's more important, saving a man's life or having proof? That's fucked up. That's the kind of decisions we gotta make these in this information age. Either watching a person die or collect enough information that might lead to the arrest. Or to the people, justice being brought to the people who murdered them. But yeah, anyways. Other topic. Okay, this one I promised myself I was going to spend a lot of time on. I saw John Mulaney's recent comedy special on Netflix. I think it's called, I could be trying to sound like a professional podcast by saying the actual name. John Mulaney? Netflix, I can't spell for shit. That's what I like about Google. It figures out, there we go, Baby J. Yeah, the name of, is it New in Town? That's what it's called? It is called Baby J. Baby J is in for John Mulaney. It is called Baby J. Okay, John Mulaney's Baby J.
Well, I apologize special. For beginning the show on such a dark note.
Okay, okay, you know what, let me stop. Okay, the whole point, the reason I bring it up is because this thing, he spends, I didn't know this, but apparently, because why would I follow a comedian? But John Mulaney, the special was dope, was hilarious, was very funny. But I love when comedians get into, reveal their souls and get vulnerable with their audience. And in this case, John Mulaney talks about his divorce. And being a recovering drug addict. And as I'm listening to the special, I'm like, finally, something real. I'm trying to find the words to explain. Don't want to say the word appreciation. Appreciation for the testimony of a recovering drug addicts. Mainly because I think it's more, I don't know what it is. There was a certain sense of gratefulness. I felt like I was listening to a special moment. Like, on one end, I'm like, good for you for making it out, for being able to crawl yourself out of this dark hole and turn it into comedy. Because I'm definitely sure when he was an addict, I don't think he could have imagined. I don't know him personally, but I'd like to think that for a normal human being, I don't think he imagined he'd be doing a comedy special about it. Think about the worst possible thing going on in your life right now and trying to picture yourself on stage doing jokes about it. You know what I mean? So anyways, I was grateful for the special, but this is one of those things I need to actual journal, put into words, because I'm trying to describe how that special feeling I felt. But the one thing I did think about is it had me think about I struggle to be a punctual. I have an inability to be on time to things. Now I got to be careful. I can be on time. I can do it. It just takes me a shitload of energy, concentration, and preparation for that shit to happen. So my problem is when it comes to work, I don't do it consistently. But when I need to be on time for something, I make it happen. But again, it takes a shitload of energy, focus for me to make it happen. Hold on, my headphones are fucking with me. All this to say, but with that said, it bothers me when people coworkers would make a smart remark about, you know, oh, he's late. It just fucked with me. I hated it. And then today, I remember thinking about the last time I was the proximity of death. I'm just going to use that like a recovering drug addict. That's the other thing that I appreciated from his presentation. Being within the proximity of death. Because he talks about how, yo, these drugs, he was trying to kill himself with this shit. And when you've been within the proximity, I'm not saying near death, but I'm saying proximity. You have moments where you start to realize about how bullshit this life is. Specifically, fuck it. I mean, I apologize for people who, basically, not taking it. It's my way of saying fuck it, man. Just accepting that's what I am about it, right? If I'm with someone who tells me that they hate people who are always late, then I'll break it to them. I'll say, like, you know, no harm, no foul, but you and I will not be friends. Because I don't want to be on time just for your sake. Hold on a second. My headphones are fucking with me. Hold on. I feel like playing. Okay, I'm going to play that Philly rapper again because my headphones. Nah, that's a second. Here, I'm sorry. Okay, consider this a brief intermission. I'm changing the batteries in my headphones. Yeah. Changing the batteries in my headphones. I don't want any dead time. Sorry. All right. Oh my God, that shit was driving me nuts. So I have these noise canceling headphones. Because I'm a narcissist, I love the sound of my voice. I'm a vengeful god. Anyway, so when the battery dies, it goes from noise cancellation to off, on, and it was driving me nuts. All right, okay, so I'm back. Yes. Being within the proximity of death, you find yourself thinking about how much bullshit we tolerate in this fucking life. Like, we're gonna die at some point. Yo, this shit does not end. It's not a happy ending. We're all gonna become, you know, break your heart, but, you know, we're all gonna be food for the fucking worms, man, for the insects. We're all gonna be either you're cremated or whatever, but this life is a fucking rental. It ends. And shout out to the author of the book of The Art of Not Giving a Fuck. And, you know, I guess my point in all this is I'm acknowledging the fact that being on time just fucks with me. It's not something I could do consistently. And yeah, but there will be people out there who will use that as a reason to be able to give you less respect, so to speak. But it is what it is. I guess what I'm saying is, as John Mulaney was recovering, go on his journey to recovering from drugs, I'm sure there's a lot of bullshit he did not give a fuck. Like whether how we were going to perceive him. I mean, or he stopped just giving a fuck. Like how, oh my God, you, I don't know. I guess this is just I'm trying to make a point about being the proximity of death and not giving a fuck about bullshit, about trivial shit. Yeah, that's it. All right, okay. this next item, I called it Clarence Thomas is a hoe. What's funny is I want to link it to, okay, I was having a conversation I was having with a close friend of mine, and he was just, and he was in a situation where he was trying to make sense of Clarence Thomas. And then when he found out, when we all learned about how this motherfucker's been taking bribes, I'm sorry, this motherfucker has been allowing a rich guy. Basically, when the news came out that he's been bought by a rich guy, Clarence Thomas is going to say, no, man, he's just a friend doing nice shit for me. Yeah, nice try, Instagram model. Yeah. When the word came out that this motherfucker was bought by some rich dude, it all made sense to him. He goes, oh, no wonder he has all these conservatives. He's not actually conservative. He was just up for sale. Anyways, I'm thinking of, I'm being careful. I'm calling Clarence Thomas a hoe. But listening to his story also has me thinking about how, what my price is. B, like on one end, it's like I'm trying to say that I get it, Clarence Thomas. You know what I mean? I get it, man. If some fucking rich guy, basically, you show up with a check and draw one, and then start drawing zeros and say shit like, "Tell me when to stop." And I should add that the check is signed to the order of you, right? Okay, and then one, tell me when to stop. Like, what is your weakness? How could you be seduced? Like, when I heard the Clarence Thomas story, first thing that came to mind is, I wish I had something for sale, something a rich person would want to buy and would pay top dollar for. Like, integrity, right? I briefly had that thought. I wish, it's like, yeah, I'm for sale. I wish I had something for sale. Then I snapped out of it because it's a problem I actually don't want to have. Like, imagine being in a situation where having that dilemma of, oh shit, keep my integrity or sell the fuck out. What I'm saying is I'm kind of glad I don't have... It sounds nice and thing, but I'm kind of glad that I'm not on the radar of some rich person. And it's like, all you got to do is go into your job, copy all this information to this hard drive, and, my favorite, go into this job, put some poison in the drink of this particular person. You don't need to know what they did, who they are, but, you know, just it's you're going to put poison. Or go into your job, here's a few ammunition. The whole point to this story is, okay, I'm calling Clarence Thomas a hoe while acknowledging the fact that, yeah, it's easy for me to be holier than thou because I'm not in his situation. I'm not excusing what he did. I'm just saying, yo, we all have our challenges in life. We all have our, my challenge is trying to keep my head up. Thomas, his challenge... Or his test, exactly. We all have our tests in life. His test was to not be a hoe, and he failed it. Motherfucker got on his knee. He failed. That's really what I'm just pointing out, that he failed his, he didn't pass this test of maintaining his integrity. All right. Okay. Oh, right. I should also, okay, I'm going to link to this, below Clarence Thomas, I'm going to link a story about Praz. I might come back to it because I just finished reading the Praz story and why this dude is up for, let me just put the word Praz so I could properly articulate what I'm trying to say here. Praz. Michael is found guilty of a scheme to help China influence. Yes. Okay. So, ex-Fuji rapper Praz, Michael found guilty in scheme to help China influence U.S. government. Okay. Turns out that story is a bit more complicated than that, but not just complicated. It's actually fucked up. So Rolling Stones, and that's the article I will link in the show notes, is Rolling Stone did a story with Praz, and Praz pretty much explains his side of the story. And man, basically it's a story of being at the wrong place, not the wrong place at the wrong time. Basically, there's a lot of rich motherfuckers out there. And if you have something they want, they'll pay. That's exactly what it's all about. Yeah. All right. Okay. Yeah. I want to be clear. I'm not saying that Praz and Clarence Thomas are the same. No, Praz didn't do something as bad as Clarence Thomas. Praz just did a bunch of, oh shit, I didn't know I was allowed to do that. I thought I was just hooking up a homie. And yeah, he just did a whole bunch of shit that, I wouldn't have known you couldn't do that. Like, basically, let me put it this way. Praz's story versus Clarence Thomas, I can see myself getting the same trouble as Praz versus Clarence Thomas, right? Because Clarence Thomas, motherfucker, he wasn't the first black judge, but that'd be like Obama fucking up, doing something. One of the reasons we love Obama is because he doesn't have, okay, if Obama has any corruption in his life or whatever in his career, it's not as bad as Trump's. That's what I'm trying to say. All right, okay. Okay, okay, this next message, I'm just going to play, and I'm not going to add any thoughts to it, but it's, homie said, it's one of those thoughts that, you know, couldn't say any clearer. So, name of the content creator on IG, his name is Tuvan, fucking English, Tuvan, A-O-X-S, A-E-O-X-I-S, Anthony. Tuvan Anthony. I wonder if he's Haitian. But anyways, okay, so here we go. Here we go. Oh, wait, just one second. There we go, okay. Right, okay. With Instagram, I gotta time this shit properly. Just like refresh, pause. There we go, okay, so here we go. And basically, it's pretty much a PSA for you to get therapy, if you can afford it. Assuming you can afford it, some of you motherfuckers should get therapy. So here we go.
There are people here that think just because you're healed, you are now eligible to be hammered on by them because they ain't. And I got two words for them. Fuck you. What, you think I got baptized in Lake Minnetonka, all of a sudden came out a Buddhist monk, and now I'm just impervious to your and you get to do what you want while I'm saved and sanctified? Nah, Buki. Take it from a guy that's been there. Take it from a guy that's had people around him who were traumatized, who were hurt by things other people did, that decided they wanted to go out their way and hurt me and thought it was just going to be okay. Just because I'm healed does not mean I need to have patience for you. If anything, that means I should be protecting myself from you. And these days, my protection is a little different because I will strike you down in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I will bless you with these hands. Go to therapy. And keep this shit in mind. Stay blessed. Yo,
there we go. I love this thought because I so relate to it. There's a lot of people I stopped talking to. And I feel like I won't write them a letter, but essentially, look, it's for my own mental health. It's for the benefit of my own mental health, right? Nothing personal. Sorry it worked out that way. And but it's true, but some of these people, it won't end, like, there won't be any reconciliation until you go into therapy. It's, yeah, man, yeah, no, for sure. Look, man, on Wednesday, I was, oh, shit, this was supposed to be, whatever. On Wednesday, you probably remember if you listened to the last episode, I talked about how I had a shitty day. And the reason I had a shitty day is because I crossed path with an ex-coworker that I got beef with. But this is like a unique kind of beef. This is not, I say beef, it's basically, I would call him racist, but it would be a compliment. It's less, like he's even lower than a racist. Like, anyways, the point is, his problem, the problem of that person is not the kind of problem that gets settled through discussion. No, that person needs to talk to a specialist to understand why I have a problem with that person. Does that make sense? Yeah. It's the kind of problem. It's there's a lot of toxic people out there. They just, I'm for the sake of benefit of the conversation, I'm going to assume they're unaware that they are being toxic, right? Something from their childhood or whatever the fuck triggered this behavior, and for them it's normal, and to the rest of us it's like I wonder when Derek Chauvin had his neck on George Floyd's neck. I don't think he saw it. He believed he was being problematic. I think he really believed that he was doing the right thing. And once the handcuffs came on him, he's like, "What the fuck? I was defending you, motherfuckers!" Like, it's only when the handcuffs came on that he realized that, maybe he realized that he was in a situation where he was like, "Oh, I didn't know I could do that." So yeah, you know, I guess I'm saying, when I heard this piece by Tuvan, AOXs, I'm going to believe I'm pronouncing it properly, AOXs, it just had me thinking of all the people, specifically this one case in particular, this one human being who did some toxic shit that I can't come back from. It doesn't end with us reconciliation. It ends the way, okay, you got to be on that side of the planet and I'll be on the other side of the planet, or else it's going to, you know, shit will pop off. But So all this to say that some of you motherfuckers need therapy and go for it. Yeah, you'd probably get a lot of your friends back in your life. But, you know, if you don't feel like you're losing friends, then okay, I'll end it there. All right. Okay. This next clip, I'm not going to play this clip. I will leave it in the show notes just for reference, but with a heavy, not suitable for work warning. Okay. Because I felt like while I was watching it, I felt like it said a lot about me, the way I responded to this video. So the headline goes, or the caption reads, "Entire village beat down a killer bear for eating a 3-month-old baby alive and killing a woman." Okay. The video starts out with, I guess the bear, I don't know, not, I want to say minding his, okay, okay, the bear minding his own business after he committed the murder, after he ate the baby, and I can't remember if there was blood on his mouth or whatever, but after he killed the mother and the baby and ate the baby, the 3-month-old baby, right? It starts out with a group of people with sticks. So this is probably, I'm not sure if it's Pakistan, India, it's a brown people country, right? They don't have bats, they have like branches, sticks, and shit, and they're all taking their turn hitting the bear while being careful, right? And what's weird is, okay, A, it's not like the movies where the bear is like, "Arr!" fighting back. It's like, "Oh, I'm under attack." It's like the fucking bear was like, "What's going on? Why are people attacking me?" It's like the bear is like wondering where this attack is coming from, right? So a bunch of village, they're all like trying to stick and move. They're like hitting the bear and running away. It's hitting the bear because they don't want to be attacked. But it's like a group effort going on, right? And at some point, the bear is like, "Oh, finally, a human being. That's okay. There, one of the motherfuckers hitting me," because one guy got close enough, and the bear jumped him, grabbed his arm, right? But yeah, poor guy. But he was like the sacrificial lamb, and you know, and then that's when the whole village, well, most of the people rush the bear. They start beating on the bear. Boom, boom, boom. Like, you know, let go of the guy. Let go. But, you know, while revenge. I won't lie. In that moment, I was bloodlust. I'm like, fuck that. Because I kept reading the caption. Fuck that bear, man. Murder. Get him. Get him. Man, that hit was for me, too. Man versus man versus animal. Get him. They start beating on the bear, right? All I could think, I kept rereading the caption. Yeah, I remembering. Yeah, that bear ate a 3-month-old baby and killed the woman. And I'm like, get him. Go. And they're hitting him, right? And then at a certain point, they're going at it, and I find myself going, get up, get up, get up, bro. I hate to admit, it gets to a point that I'm now feeling sorry for the bear. They're beating the shit out of, like, blood. Fun, because at a certain point, he lets go of the guy. Once he lets go of the guy, because I guess he just got weak, bear just stops moving, and they're, like, beating him. You can see the blood, like bloodlust and shit like that. Look, I'm not faulting the villagers. Don't get me wrong. This is not me saying what should have happened. What I am saying is how I started out with kill that bear, murder that bear, like, unleash hell on that bear to, oh, shit, feeling sorry for that bear. And I won't lie. I'm kind of angry at myself for feeling sorry for that fucking bear. I'm bothered at the fact that I felt bad for the bear. Like, they're beating him. He just stops moving. There was a point where it's like the bear was a kid. You know what I mean? And like, yeah, he was a murderer. But when they were beating him and the way he was, like, trying to escape or trying to, like, get people to stop, get it to stop people, it just... There was something childish about him, and I guess that was the point that just triggered. I'm like, oh, man, poor bear. Okay, guys, please stop, whatever, and shit like that. But, you know, that's not how society works. And I just took that moment to reflect about this is who I am. Like, I'm thinking about how much I wanted revenge on that bear. And how easily it is for me to, like, all of a sudden feel sorry for the person I want revenge for. Well, I say person, I mean the bear, whatever, right? I just noticed that about me. It's just, I kind of hate that about me. There was this, I mean, it is what it is. Look, man, it is what it is. This is one of those conversations. This is exactly what I mean. If I had a conversation with someone else about this, they'd be like, no! You should have feel this way or whatever, or that's fucked up or whatever. I'm just acknowledging something right now. Felt bad for the bear, man. Felt bad. The motherfucker's dead. I mean, yeah. I mean, shouldn't have ate that little baby, but bear didn't know any better. I think this is why probably I have an appreciation for you animal, not just animal rights lovers or whatever. Like, I get it, but I don't know, man. That video just shook me a bit. Yeah, that's it. All right, last point is, do I do this last one? Okay, yeah, this is going under church wretchedness, my last segment that I used to talk shit about the church. It's going to be a little long, but it's not a little long, but okay. The content creator's name is... Is that, am I reading it right? I know she's Haitian. It's Malika Micah Mulit, right? Anyways, I will, everything I need to say about this clip, I'm going to say it now as opposed to at the end. Essentially, she just said something that reminds me of how I'm trying to, of the reason why I'm a next Christian, why I'm trying to let go, not trying to, why I've let go of Christianity. And, the way she says this story pretty much sums it up. It's like, when I think of Christianity, all I think of white Jesus, I think of the religion of our conquerors, and if God is real, he's looking out for white people, or if God is real, he can't do shit about racism. That's what, basically, Christianity to me is not the religion that ends racism, or that helps me deal with the problems I have in life. But anyway, so I'm gonna let her explain it. But she pretty much sums up or gives a take that helps me understand Why I can't fuck with Christianity anymore, man? Well, I mean, why don't fuck with Christianity? But here we go. Break it down.
You don't truly understand the nuances of white supremacy if you don't understand how it informs your spirituality.
Okay, I'm going to pause. The first person speaking is, what's his name again? Hold on. Oh, man, I forgot. Donnell. Okay, there we go. Donnell writes. Okay, and he is, I played some, you know, some his stuff on.
Let's talk about this video.
Here we go. Yeah. Hold on. And whatever, man. Donnell Wright, content creator. And what Micah is doing is complimenting what he's saying about spirituality, Christianity and spirituality. So here we go.
Understand the nuances of white supremacy if you don't understand how it informs your spirituality.
So I recently came back from a trip to Ghana, which I went to for a wedding. And while I was there, I decided that I wanted to go visit the Gold Coast Castle. The Gold Coast Castle is one of the places that they enslaved Black people. They held Africans there before forcing them onto the ships across the Atlantic for the slave trade as we know it. And one of the things that really stood out to me about this is the fact that as we were walking through and we're seeing all of the dungeons that African people were enslaved in, learning about the conditions that they had to survive in, that people would go blind because it was so dark in these dungeons and they were not exposed to sunlight throughout this time. So that way, when they went out into the sunlight, they could not see. Or the fact that food would be thrown from windows at the top and land in the bodily excrements of all the people forced to stay together. Or the fact that people would not always realize that the person in front of them had died until they touched them and felt the coldness of their bodies. And then, of course, the decomposing smell. It is brutal and it is gruesome, and it was such an emotional experience for me. But what really tripped me out is the fact that on top of these dungeons was a Christian church.
A church.
Yes, there was a church. On top of the dungeons where enslaved Africans were held before being forced across the Atlantic. And the man who was conducting the tour was explaining how sometimes the pastor, even thinking about it and re-listening is just making me shake, was talking about how the pastor would sometimes, when he was feeling very benevolent, toss some food in right on into, before stepping into the sanctuary. And when you consider that that same religion has been used to cause so much trauma, and I am saying this as the daughter of a preacher. When you learn this, and then I had the privilege of being able to see it this firsthand, going to this place where people who look like me were enslaved, it really makes you wonder about Christianity and what it is that we are holding on so tightly to. And so if me being open to the idea of accepting that my ancestors fought for so many things and that if I'm here, it's because of all of that they had endured and I choose to venerate them.
Right.
If I choose to acknowledge the spiritualness of our experience and our existence, if that makes me a witch, then I guess I'm a witch.
I'm a witch. Fuck that. That makes me a werewolf. Yeah, this was in response to some content creator, not content creator, some sermon. Some pastor was talking shit about how, I don't have the actual clip, but basically she was just saying some pro bullshit. Jesus is the way and everything else is evil. Like whether it's voodoo, witchcraft or whatever the fuck, especially if it came from Africa, it's bullshit. So, yeah, my only point to this is, as she was speaking, is that's exactly my problem. You had the church over these dungeons, right, where these Africans were enslaved, but were in cage and were put in to be sent to America. And that's exactly part of being Christian or my journey as Christian as a Christian was having to not think about that, was to stay in the church and ignore the fact that beneath me, the legacy of slavery. People had a whole bunch of bullshit thing to say. Basically, I just stopped doing it, man. It's like, look, man, I stopped being in denial of the fact that Christianity was built on slavery, had like one of the greatest contributor to the slave trade. And fuck you, don't bring up the how abolitionists were Christians. I ain't trying to hear that shit, man. All right, okay. So with that said, that shit was kind of gloomy, I know. But and I forgot to mention, the title of this episode will be 076, Baby, It's Beautiful Music. Yeah, this is exactly it. I know this is kind of gloomy. I picked a lot of gloomy topics, but here we are. All right, so what time is it? Okay, let's jump to final thoughts, and then you kids get the fuck out of here. All right, here we go. Shit, I hate how my nose gets stuffy every recording session. All right, before I end with what's up with the title and the intro verse, I'm going to play another clip by the speech prof. It, like what he says, just because I like what he says.
Okay, so I'm at a conference right now, and I just heard one of the most brilliant speeches from a retired professor from the Cree Nation that I had to run back to my room to record this. He said, to be highly sensitive is to be highly gifted. These are people that will grow up to be our most respected elders. But nowadays, we pathologize sensitivity. We tell people it's something to get rid of, to be treated.
Right.
We call it anxiety. But being highly sensitive is not a disease. It's a gift.
Boom. Yeah. Anyways, that's my journey. I'm just going to leave it at that, my journey. I like what he says. And, the speech prof. Okay, there we go. Yeah, link will be in the show note. All right, last but not least, excuse me, what's up with the title of today's episode and the intro verse that I just that I read? First, I want to say I know Renegade was that track that Nas told told Jay-Z, Eminem murdered you on your own shit. But to be honest, Jay-Z's verse on that track was dope. But Eminem did kill it. And I mean, they complimented each other. I want to say they complimented each other, but Eminem did kill it on that track. And I'm also thinking about how Eminem was that road rapper who I used to be careful about telling that I liked his music and wished him a lot of success. There's some, there's some folks, black folks, who, they ain't trying to hear shit about you liking Eminem. But, allow them to silence me. But now I'm like, you know what, fuck it, deal with it, man. We don't have to be friends. But, yeah, no, all this to say that, one, I'm sharing this track to say that one verse that I read, it's a dope-ass verse. And also, I'm also expressing my appreciation for Eminem as a rapper and a contributor to the hip-hop culture. Hip-hop as a culture. All right. The reason I picked it is because it had me thinking. I love that line where he says, basically, again, with respect to my own content, is this is me trying to work on my self believing in self, believing in my own. It's gonna be a while before I can be one of those people who could jump out and say, "Yeah, this is my shit," who could brag about his own content creator. But no, but what I can get myself to do is, I'm better at doubting things than I am at being confident about something. So one thing I can get myself to doubt or to accept is tell myself that, maybe, just maybe, someone will consider what I have to say, the shit that I put out as beautiful music. To someone else, maybe there's, 8 billion people on this planet? So aside from myself, maybe there's someone out there who can connect with the shit that I gotta say. And I love how Eminem expresses it as beautiful music. Actually, he says, I know he's talking about his own rap song, but he says, man, that shit's dope. He goes, No, okay, it goes, maybe it's, the other thing too is when he says, maybe it's hatred I spew, maybe it's food for the spirit. Maybe it's beautiful music I made for you to just cherish. So I know out there there's someone who's going to be highly critical of this kind of shit. And you know what? Maybe they're right. But on the other end, for that other person who's like, no, I get it. I know what you're trying to say, which has pretty much been my life. I'm used to people. They hear what I have to say, and it's like, nah, shut up. You know, they don't use those words, but it's pretty much dismiss what I got to say. But for every person who's got, for every two person who wants to dismiss what I got to say, whether it's because, for whatever reason, right? This is not personal, but this is more for whatever fucking reason. There's always been one who's like, oh, no, I see what you're getting at. You know, ever been in a situation where you're just like, that's the world we live in, man. Some folks, maybe the majority of the population, a good significant portion of the population, will simply not understand you. And the point to this life is not to be one of those people. There we go. Oh, wow. Ooh, I just said, yeah, you know what I mean? A, to not be one of those people and to recruit others who are also not one of those people. There we go. Powerful. Yeah, final line. Believe in yourself. This is just one for me, a beautiful way of saying believe in yourself. Maybe it's beautiful music. Believe in yourself. All right. Okay. And this concludes, hey, not bad, B. All right, and this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, yeah. So, again, holler at me. You can DM me on Twitter as long as, while Elon doesn't fuck things up, you can DM me on Twitter either via B Blizzak or Shut Up Podcast. You can also look me up on the Shut Up Podcast website, which is shutuppodcast.com. And, or if you're old school like me, send me an email at shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. You can subscribe using the RSS feed on the website or going to Google or Apple Podcasts. Yo, from the bottom of my heart, B Black would like to say thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. Peace.